to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined, I'm thrilled to say, for the first time, by Patrick Dunleavy. He is a man who has been working for quite some time as a corrections officer and as a man investigating what is happening to corrections officers and otherwise within America's prison systems. He completed his service to our country in New York State as the Deputy Inspector General of the Criminal Intelligence Unit, having served for many years as a line officer in the corrections business, and now is a man who has helped the rest of us understand what's going on there, among other things, with respect to what I think of as the civilization jihad against the American prison system. He is the author of The Fertile Soil of Jihad, Terrorism's Prison Connection. Patrick, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. It is an absolute delight to have you with us. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work you've been doing and the work you're doing now to help shed light on all of these issues for us here and elsewhere.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's my pleasure to be with you this morning.
I want to start with a topic that's very much in the news, unfortunately, because of what President Obama is doing. But there's so many things that would describe. I'm speaking of his effort now in earnest, unilaterally, without congressional assent, and perhaps at great expense to the American people and their security, to fulfill his campaign promise and one of his first executive orders to close Guantanamo Bay, basically by emptying the place. You've written about this at the Investigative Project on Terrorism's very important website. Give us a sense of what's going on here and what the stakes are, Patrick.
Sure. Well, interesting enough, even this morning, there was a story in the New York Daily News regarding five more Yemeni inmates who were released from Guantanamo Bay to they were released to Oman and Estonia. And again, it just shows this problem with releasing former inmates from Guantanamo to other countries that have no supervised release oversight. When you look at prisoners being released from prison in general, if you go by the Bureau of Justice statistics, it shows a recidivism rate of anywhere from 40 to 67%. That's an issue that sociologists and criminologists deal with all the time, trying to explain that. When you talk about a terrorist recidivism rate that high, the exponential danger is quite greater than just a common burglar going back to a life of crime. If a terrorist goes back to the jihad, he's going to kill people.
And the trouble is that the president seems to be taking now what's left has been characterized, and I'd be interested in your sense of this, Patrick Dunleavy, as really the worst of the worst. These are people who have, we're told, in some cases, been considered so bad that they can't not only can't be released, but they can't be brought to trial. What does it portend, if your recidivism projections are correct, that such folks are going to be back on the battlefield probably in fairly short order, I would guess? In Uruguay, they were turned loose almost immediately, and there seems to be no check on this practice.
Well, the questions that arise in my mind has to do with how their security classifications are downgraded. There's no standard to tell us how does an inmate go from maximum security assessment in Guantanamo down to medium or minimum. Is it because he's been a good inmate? If that is what they're using to down-classify their security, there could be grave mistakes there, as well as the fact that we know at least 47 of the inmates that have been cleared for release that are waiting for countries to take them are Yemeni. And there's no way we can send them back to Yemen right now, given the situation with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula.
You're just basically putting them right back into the jihadist pool. Just on this question, and then we'll turn to the larger problem of what's happening inside our own correctional institutions. But Patrick Dunleavy, in light of your experience, when the administration puts out the word, as it did recently in the Hill newspaper, that the recidivism rate is actually dropping dramatically. Do you find that unlikely with respect to, again, the worst of the worst, who are the folks left in Gitmo at this point?
I don't know where they're getting their recidivism rates from. There's no parole office in South America or in Estonia that I know of that's reporting back to them saying inmate XYZ, who you gave us from Guantanamo, has been going to work. And so I don't know where they're getting their recidivism rates to.
Well, it may be that one of the things they're talking about is that a bunch of them have been killed in combat.
That's not exactly reducing the rate down by attrition.
That's right. Patrick, okay, let me turn to this other topic, because as I said, you've spent a lot of time in the corrections system on the right side of the bars, let me emphasize, but also trying to investigate what's going on the other side, specifically with respect to Islamic recruitment by imams who are clearly imbued with this same supremacist agenda, Sharia agenda, they call it, as the ones we've just been talking about in Gitmo. How is that evidencing itself in your experience? How serious a problem does it represent as these guys get out of prison?
Well, first I'll tell you how the investigation started, and it was following 9/11. We looked back at any leads there were that could have been overlooked regarding terrorists and terrorist attacks. We found a lead that had come in 1999 stating that there was an inmate in a U.S. prison who had sworn Beha to Osama bin Laden, who was facilitating travel to recently released inmates to go to the Middle East for training. That lead had been dropped in 1999. We picked it up after 9/11, started to look at it. We started to look at Islam in prison in general. And we found that in the beginning, Islam in prison from the 1940s through the 60s, the vast majority in U.S. prisons were followers of Elijah Muhammad, most recent converts that were famous, guys like Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, and stuff like that. But then in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a movement called the Dar es Salaam Movement that embarked on a goal of establishing a fundamentalist Sunni mosque in every prison. They were helped by Saudi funding of prison clergy that were going to be hired by prisons. They were funded by Saudi money that was coming into organizations like the Graduate Institute of Islamic Studies, the Islamic Society of North America, and the North America Islamic Trust Fund were funneling money to potential prison imams. So we saw that particular influx of a change in the way Islam was viewed. It went from being the Nation of Islam, the NOI guys, to a more fundamentalist Wahhabi Salafist Saudi teaching.
And one of the drivers behind this, I believe, Patrick Dunleavy, was a fellow by the name of Abdurrahman Alamoudi, who was given the authority to begin this process by the Clinton administration, if I recall correctly, to recruit chaplains. And lo and behold, the chaplains he was recruiting were people like him, Muslim Brotherhood tied individuals. So we were getting these real jihadists in the system. And we're almost out of time, but very quickly, is this problem in any way being ameliorated today? Or are the prison managers, the wardens and so on, sort of turning a blind eye to the threat that it represents, not only to their population, but to the rest of us, as I say, when these guys are released?
No, it hasn't. And the striking thing is that 2004, the Federal Inspector General's Office from the Department of Justice issued a report stating that Islamic clergy needed to be certified and background checked prior to hiring. They cannot find, even to this day, an organization that the FBI or any other law enforcement agencies would trust in doing the certification.
Boy, doesn't that tell you everything you need to know? We're hard out of time, Patrick. I'm so sorry to say. Thank you for your terrific book on this subject, The Fertile Soil of Jihad Terrorism's Prison Connection, and for raising the alarm as you're doing now. We hope you'll come back to us soon for a longer conversation about this and more. And we hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.